Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. We can all understand the experience of Martha. She feels overworked. She's burdened with much serving. There are guests in her house that have to be attended to. There's a lot of work to do. She's busy. And all of us know what it's like to be busy, to be stressed, to be burdened, to be overworked. Maybe young children don't have this experience, but once we get to a certain age, life with all its duties and demands gets more stressful. At school, there are so many assignments and so many activities. At work, the boss is so demanding and the customers are unhappy and there's not enough time and we're not being paid enough. And if we're out of work, it's even worse because then we have to do the work of looking for a job and not even get paid while we're doing it and our money's running out and the bills are piling up. And then at home, where we hope to take a break from all this stress, from all these pressures of the workplace, even at home, there are a million things to do. Just keeping the place clean and feeding the family takes a lot of work. And if guests come, we might be happy to receive them, but it's even more work. And then in our day, with all our gadgets and with social media, which are marvelous advances in technology and are supposed to save us time, they often take up more of our time. And then we have to deal with even more things and even more people and even more demands. So we are all Marthas. We're all Marthas. And we have this tendency to be anxious and worried about many things. One temptation when we feel burdened with our work and our responsibilities is to look around at others and compare. It's a bad idea, but it comes rather naturally to us. We look around at others and we compare, and for sure we see someone who's not helping, someone who we think should help us. We can see people who are not doing what they should be doing, people who are wasting too much time on their phone or just being lazy, and it bothers us. And then we judge them. And we complain about how unfair it is that we have to do all the work and they don't. They're just sitting there. You can see how it's easy to understand how Martha is judging her sister Mary. Then another temptation when we're in this mindset, when we continue to dwell on the unfairness of this, before long, we build up in our hearts complaints against God Himself, because He too is not helping us like He should. That's how it strikes us. And He's letting other people get away with doing less or doing nothing while we're doing all the work. We can hear this attitude in Martha when she turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do all the serving? Don't you care? What's wrong with you? Why don't you tell her to help me?" You can hear that attitude of resentment and judgment in Martha's prayer to Jesus. Well, when we're in that mindset, all the other people, sometimes everyone else, all those incompetent and irresponsible and insensitive, lazy people, they're all Mary's. Well, what should we do about this when we're experiencing this Martha condition? In the world, there's all kinds of advice about what to do when we experience stress. I'm sure you see these things online. There's techniques, there's a relaxation techniques, there's meditation techniques, there's time management, and all sorts of things. When we have too many things on our list of things to do and not enough time and not enough people helping us. I remember one technique that I learned years ago. I don't know if it's still being taught, the time management matrix. Sometimes they call it the Eisenhower matrix. It's basically just a square divided into four smaller squares or four quadrants. And the top squares are urgent, and not urgent, and then the bottom squares are important and not important. So one square is urgent and important, and urgent and not important, and important but not urgent, and then not important and not urgent. So four quadrants. And it's clear that the urgent and important things are the ones that tend to take over our day and preoccupy us. And that's fine, that's a useful tool. I still use it sometimes. As far as it goes, it's fine, but when we read this gospel, we learn from Jesus during his visit to the home of Martha and Mary that there is need of only one thing. Isa lamang ang talagang kailangan. Isa lamang. And Mary has chosen this one necessary thing, and Martha has not. So her problem isn't that she has a lot of work to do. Her problem is that she hasn't chosen the one necessary thing. And Jesus says further that choosing this one thing is the better part. What Mary has chosen will not be taken away from her, no matter what she's doing. Pinili ni Maria ang lalong mabuti at ito ay hindi aalisin sa kanya. Well, this idea that there's only one thing overrides the whole matrix, the whole time management system. This one thing is so important that it outranks everything else. The whole list. And what is this one thing? It's the will of God. It's our relationship with God. It's listening to God and following Him. It's what Mary has chosen in this gospel. One thing. Now, sometimes, to think about it, sometimes this one thing breaks in on us and practically forces us to set aside everything else. In the news, there's been so many accounts of the flash floods here and everywhere. Flash floods. Well, when there's danger of a flood, you drop everything else and you get to safety. It doesn't matter how many urgent and important things are on your list. They're not as urgent and not as important as getting to safety during the flood. And there are sometimes things like this, accidents, illnesses, sometimes the unexpected death of loved ones, or all sorts of things that take us by surprise. And suddenly, urgent and important things to do are not that urgent and not that important. We just set them aside. But usually it's not that obvious what we should do. And we have to make decisions about what to do and what not to do. And one common, very common error when we have a list of things to do is to push our relationship with God down the list somewhere else. Put it in one of the boxes. And the problem with that is that we lose track of the one thing necessary. It seems to be just one more thing. And maybe not even the most important. And then our life gets filled up with things that may not even be the will of God at all, even if they seem important, even if they seem urgent, and we don't even realize it. See, without listening to God, we simply don't know what we should really do with our time. I hear this all the time when I'm speaking to people about their spiritual life. I ask them about whether they come to Mass on Sundays, and they say, "Father, I'm too busy." And I say, "Well, do you pray?" "Father, I'm too busy." "Okay, Martha." "Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're worried about so many things, and yet God isn't one of them. Your relationship with God isn't one of them." See, when we have anxiety and worry, those are signs that we're no longer choosing the better part. We're no longer choosing the one thing. Imagine if Martha, when she was burdened with so much serving, if she had stopped, even for a brief moment, even for 30 seconds or 1 minute, if she had stopped and prayed, turned to God in her heart, or stopped and talked to Jesus about what was burdening her, she may have realized much earlier, before she lost her focus, that there were other possibilities. She could slow down. Or she could ask people to help her, including Mary. She never asked her. She just had this unspoken expectation that built up in her. Did Mary even know what Martha was thinking? So if Martha had stopped and asked the Lord, what should I do with this situation of stress? A lot of different things could have come. In fact, one of the possibilities could have been she could realize that it is really the right thing to do to serve her guests and to do it with joy, not with resentment. And that would have solved all her problems. Or to let go of perfectionism. Serve, but not every single possible thing that comes into your mind as being necessary. That's not what God is asking us to do. One of the things that we don't realize is that it's often easier to be busy than to stop and pray. When we're in this Martha mode, we think we just don't have time. But that busyness can often be simply us choosing to do what we want and not what God wants. We satisfy our desire for control or for perfectionism or for success or for making someone like us or impressing people or concluding our own list. That looks to Martha like she has the harder part and Mary has it easy. But anyone who knows the spiritual life or who has tried praying, anyone who's dedicated to prayer or dedicated to the will of God knows it's both a gift, but also a daily battle. It takes effort. We have to battle against our own weaknesses, against our own distractions, our own attachments, our own will. And we also have to battle against spiritual enemies, enemies who would like nothing more than to make us lose the one necessary thing. So, let us then recognize that all of us tend to be Marthas. So busy, too busy. And then let us realize that and make the decision every day to be Marys. To do the one necessary thing. To let God be our guide, and to do His will, and not our own.